Now, Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And good evening to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon and Cindy. And along with us tonight is Alyssa McNamara Reed. And I always want to say Alyssa Reed McNamara for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I get that a lot.
I know you do.
There's a lot of confusion surrounding my last name, generated by me.
Yeah, I know. You did it yourself.
I know.
We have Ryan Mann in the phones. Hi, Ryan. I didn't get a chance to say hi to you.
Hey there. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. I didn't even see you in there dancing. Were you dancing up a storm?
I was.
Yeah, and it looks like I have a present here. I can't wait to open this present. So
where's mine, Ryan? I don't see mine. Am I sitting on it?
You weren't here last week, so I didn't know if you were going to be here this week.
I'm so excited to open that. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy. So we're live tonight again. You were not here last week. Yes, you were in London.
I went London and Paris, yes.
Yeah, how was it?
Great.
Fantastic.
I still haven't unpacked, which is why I have these on, and I feel like I'm in a tunnel, because I think my buds are in my carry-on, which is somewhere in the house. But anyway, it was awesome. It was great.
That's awesome.
Celebrating my daughter's 21st birthday.
Oh, that's so fun. Can you imagine? I'm 21. I think my mom's going to bring me to London.
That's amazing.
I know.
Good for you.
In our next lifetime, we're coming back.
Yeah. Right?
I know.
We're going to come back as our kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we're sitting here with a financial planner who would probably tell us that this is not the smartest decisions that we've made in our life.
And it wouldn't be the first time a financial planner has told me that.
I know. But we are live tonight, and we had Alyssa on with us last month and from McNamara Financial, and she also is the host of McNamara Money, which is every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Right here on WATD.
Yes.
So we're live, 781-837-4900. We had a few callers last week, which was really nice. So if you have any questions for Alyssa, just regarding finances in general, please feel free to call. It doesn't have to be related just to real estate, but that is the name of our show.
Right. That's what we do, right? We try.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about those dirty D words.
Yeah.
I mean, but
divorce and death.
Yeah, and disability. But we won't get to all of them because they are, you know, a lot of pieces to that.
Those are three separate shows, basically.
I mean,
you could... That's a lot, but we can talk about whatever you guys want to talk about.
Yeah, and I thought we would, you know, probably focus, you know, maybe on the divorce one.
Yeah, right? Let's do the divorce first.
Yeah, we'll get that behind us. And but there's a lot of different things that we have to consider when you are going through a divorce, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your home, how to separate all those funds. But right now we're going to listen to the traffic because we have Malcolm who's going to get everybody home safe and sound. Hey, Malcolm.
Hello there, Sharon. This report is brought to you by Lead Safe America. Right now, expressway traffic is heavy most of the way down to the Braintree Split. Northbound, slow from Granite Avenue to Neponset Circle, again approaching the O'Neill Tunnel. On Route 3, you've got delays down past Union Street. Route 128 is tied up from the Mass Turnpike to Route 9, again around 95 in Canton. Northbound, all tied up, getting up towards Route 24. Route 95 is slow from 128 down past the Dedham Street overpass, again down past Route 495. Did you know that childhood lead poisoning costs the American taxpayers more than $50 billion a year? Visit LeadSafeAmerica.org to learn more. Traffic on the Nines every morning. I'm Malcolm Alter in the WATD Traffic Center.
Don't miss a minute of Talk Real Estate. Check out the podcast page at TalkRealEstateRadio.com. Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate.
We're back. Ryan, you got back into that little studio really fast.
Really
like
quick.
Lightning.
It's those sneakers.
Yeah.
And they are like lightning. I don't know if you saw those, but.
Cat-like reflexes. So every week we do like a little fun fact with a special deed. So this one here, Melissa was really cute about this. She goes, well, I picked a woman because you have a woman on there tonight. Mm. So State Senator, Vice Chairman of Ways and Means Committee, first woman elected in the Brockton City Council. She book and page number over at the Plymouth County Register deeds. Anna Buckley bought her first house in 1973, and there's all kinds of fun facts. So anyways, we put those on our website. Yeah, all kinds of deeds and stuff. So Alyssa, again, if you're just tuning in, hope you have a nice ride home. Sounds like there wasn't too much traffic, I guess, going on out there. We have Alyssa McNamara Reed with us this evening from McNamara Financial and McNamara Money, and we're going to be talking about divorce and things that people should be considering when they're going through a divorce. So we're all ears. And we have Trot here with us tonight,
and I
too.
May have a question or two, Alyssa.
That's fine.
I may. You never know with me.
After her trip to London, she has all kinds of questions about divorce.
Or I'll tell you what not to do. Spend all your money. No, I'm kidding. Well, actually, as I was thinking about what we could chat about on today's show, I think that the biggest, when people get divorced, I think one of the biggest decisions they have to make is actually surrounding the home. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they can afford to stay in the home, which unfortunately I think is not always the case. Right. I think it's frequently not the case that when a couple separates that one of those parties can really afford to stay in the home. And what I mean by that is long term. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you make the mortgage payment based on where your assets are and your other sources of income? Sure, but long term, does it make sense? And often the answer is no, because if you think about it, when you're in a married couple, you often have two sources of income coming in the door and you're paying for one life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when people separate, well, all of a sudden they're paying for two lives on that same amount of income. And generally people live on both of their incomes. It's mm-hmm. not often that, you know, they're living on one income and maybe saving the other income is completely discretionary. So, you know, one of the biggest decisions is can the person who remains in the home, and often, I guess, stereotypically, it's the woman, because maybe if there are kids in the picture, especially, they want to remain in the home to keep things, you know, normal for the children. And I understand that. But, you know, I think it's important to think long term. And if you can really afford to do that, and unfortunately, in a lot of the situations, you know, that I've been involved in, it's not really the case. And that's really, really hard for women, especially, to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things, too, is we were talking about, there's two parts of this. One is when we go through divorce. Another thing in another part of our life, Alyssa, is, and we have, you know, one that we're planning, hopefully maybe the end of April or May, for financially secure women is, you know, the woman tends to put her life on hold a little bit, you know, in her career, and she's home with the kids, and then, you know, if they end up getting in a divorce, they don't know what to do with their finances then. But I'm just curious, how many couples do you see come to you before they get married to talk about finances? And then, you know, you've been through a lot with one person. You know, you got married, you had your vows. There's the ups, the downs, the in-betweens, you know, having children, purchasing homes, fun, you know, trips, all of that.
Yeah.
Is it often enough that a divorce can be civil enough that you could get two people in your office to really decide how to disperse things evenly and fair? Or do you not see that?
I have actually, I frequently, when I meet divorcees, I frequently meet them after the divorce is final. Okay. And I wish honestly that wasn't the case, because I think a financial advisor can be really powerful and really helpful through the divorce process. And I wish I would meet more people before they go through the process. But I actually have one couple right now that is very amicably separated, and they actually came to me and they said, you know, we are planning to separate, we have children, we want to make this,
you know, they just have a really good outlook on it. Mm-hmm. They want it to be as amicable as possible. They're there for their kids. They were still living together at the time. They've since moved on. But I'm actually working with them through the division of assets process and through the calculation of alimony process, and they're working with a mediator. And it's a really wonderful situation as far as divorces go. I mean, it's not a happy situation for either one of them, but you know, they're going through it in a very cordial way. Mm-hmm. And in all of our, and most of our meetings so far have been together, you know, discussing one of their futures financially, discussing the other person's future financially, and discussing what is the best way for them to divide their assets and calculate alimony and things like that. So I don't see that very often, unfortunately, but it's really been wonderful to work with them. And
unfortunately, I have in situations where we're listing a property or I'm listing a property and there's a divorce situation, it's sometimes very difficult for showings or for both of them to agree on anything or to speak, or you can't talk to one or two. So it makes it very difficult to show their property.
Yeah.
Or, and then sometimes it's in such a bad situation that the property doesn't maybe show as well as it could.
Oh, is that right?
You know, because it's the bad time.
The motivation sometimes, you know.
Well, it's not a happy situation. And do you really want to put the work in?
Things happen, get, you know, pushed aside, or they just don't have it in them because they're so sad or upset or whatever. So it's difficult on our end. I've not had any so far that are amicable.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a rarity.
It really is. Yeah. And that's one of the things as I was sort of preparing for tonight too, is I just think that, you know, we think about the processes of what we do to get married, and, you know, things don't always work out. I mean, things happen. You know, I know people get angry, they get upset and everything, but I was hoping that you were going to say more people do come to you
reconcile
first.
Reconcile, maybe?
Yeah, well, not even so much reconcile. Well, yes, I always hope that they reconcile, but, you know. But, you know, that they could, you know, at least come to a meeting of the minds that let's just do this through you. I mean, because I feel like, how else would I know? Like, if I was divorcing Mark, it would be really awkward for you because, you know, your dad is his brother. But if we could do it together, we've done everything together, that it would probably make sense that you could, you know, because people do fight about, you know, what's, you know, proceeds and everything else. When it does come to the house part of it, I think one of the more difficult things, as you're saying, now you have two separate, you have the same two incomes, two separate households.
Yeah.
And kids going back and forth and everything else, it's really confusing time. But there isn't always a lot of money left over to if the water heater goes, or if there's a leak in the roof. Well, that would be a leak in the roof.
Right, but that made perfect sense to me.
Yeah. So I feel like the home sometimes does sort of...
Or even the outside. Like sometimes, you know, if she's got the kids in the house and there's a few of them to do the outside maintenance or the yard work or something, and she's just trying to work, get the kids to... And it's just her now or him now. That it's difficult.
Oh, sure. I mean, we have had several clients over the years that we've worked with that were married and then they go through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And the normal process is that once we're notified of the divorce, they generally don't come in for meetings together again. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we're meeting with them separately, and there's an understanding and there's a verbal communication between us and each of the spouses that, you know, we can only talk to you about your assets, and we're only talking to you about your assets, and they understand that, and we're professionals, and we can, you know, we're able to give unbiased advice, you know. And when I'm sitting with one of the spouses, I'm giving advice for that one person and what makes the most sense for that person.
Yeah.
And then I can also turn around and do the same for the other spouse and their understanding of that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're all different, but is there something that's like, say your average couple that has a few children and they're maybe younger, maybe the wife hasn't worked. Is it easier or different? Like, does one buy the norm? Like, normally do you see someone buy someone, or do they find they have to sell and both maybe have to rent somewhere if there aren't a lot of assets other than, say, your property?
Yeah. I don't know that I've had enough younger couples go through a divorce to know what the norm is there. Mm. But in most of the situations that I see, the wife stays in the home, or at least wants to, for a period of time, like until the kids go to college or maybe even get out of college. And she would buy her husband out in some regard. And I don't mean that. I mean, you know, if there's equity in the home, that would go on her side of the ledger. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of the retirement assets, maybe more of the retirement assets might go on his side of the ledger. Mm-hmm. Because when you are separated, you want it to be clean. You know, if the wife's going to keep the home, her name should be on the deed. Her name should be mm-hmm. on the mortgage. It should be clean in that regard. So if there is equity in the home, then it would be, you know, maybe she's taking on more of the equity and he's taking on more of the retirement assets or other assets if there are any. I haven't seen many situations where they, you know, where they sell the home and both rent. I haven't personally seen that. I'm sure mm-hmm. it happens. But, you know, but I've also seen situations where I keep talking about the woman because generally she yeah. has the children and she mm-hmm. wants to retain the marital home. But, you know, I have seen situations where a woman might come to the understanding that, you know, I really can't afford this, you know, yeah. 4-5 bedroom colonial. And, you know, I've seen and I've helped women make a financially smart decision to, you know, buy a smaller home, have less overhead so that you can mm-hmm. afford it on your income, which, you know, it's so stereotypical, but oftentimes is lower because yep. maybe they were home with the kids for a period of time. But, you know, I've helped people work through and make those decisions, which maybe they weren't happy about, but they knew it was financially the smartest decision mm-hmm. to make. And you know what? Those women are a lot better off in the long run because of that, because yeah. they were able to maybe save their whole alimony check for later on or mm-hmm. because they can't afford to maintain the home and make retirement contributions on their income alone. You know, so it's those are really hard meetings to have and yeah. conversations to have. And they're received in a variety of ways, as you can imagine. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's I think one of the most important things is, I guess for women especially, I keep focusing on that because oftentimes the income is lower, is just to understand that you might not be able to afford the same life, even if you yeah. have alimony and even if you have some, and even, you know, if, you know, when the assets are divided, even if you have, you know, 6 figures in your column, you might just not be able to afford mm-hmm. the same life long term, and that's really tough.
Why do you think most people, I would think that one of the things, well, no, I guess because there's emotions, I'm thinking, why don't they reach out before they are divorced so that you know what yeah. up front, what, and still point, after yeah. the fact, like so that yeah. you know, because obviously at the time someone comes to you, I'm assuming they're not living together anymore because now they're physically divorced.
Right.
So,
well, if you're working with a good divorce attorney, you know, theoretically mm-hmm. that attorney is knowledgeable with regard to taxability of assets and will understand those things and be able to divide assets appropriately with a thought regarding long-term and with thoughts regarding taxability of assets. So I think probably if you're working with an experienced attorney, that's not something that you necessarily need to worry about. But there's a lot of people that get divorced without mm-hmm. without experienced attorneys that go to mediators and they're just kind of doing it themselves because yeah. they think that it'll be easy or they don't want to pay thousands of dollars for an attorney.
Everybody thinks it's going to turn, like it starts out okay that it's going to be that way. But in generally speaking, when it comes to the money, that's when you start to see things sort of go the wrong way. That's why I think come yeah. to someone like right. you who yeah. knows all of your finances beforehand.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I just think it's helpful to, you know, when you have a proposal, like a divorce proposal on the table.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful to sit down and think about, well, how does this affect me long term? If my child support is this, if my alimony is this, well, when do these things go away? How are they taxed? Mm-hmm. If my side of the ledger has these assets, what are the long term ramifications of that? How will they be taxed in the future? Will I get some of the pension if there's a pension?
Right.
So being able to look at that and sort of digest it and think about it long term, you know, sitting down with a professional, you know, I could say something like, well, would you consider having a higher alimony and a lower child support because alimony lasts longer, right?
Oh,
child
yeah.
support goes away when the kids are, even though child support is tax-free, child support goes away generally when the kids, I think, are 18 mm-hmm. or out of the house. So just things like that. Oh, would you consider taking more of the equity in the home and less of the retirement assets because, you know, it might be more tax efficient or just, you know, things like mm-hmm. that.
There's a lot to think about.
It just helps to be able to bat that around before it's set in stone, because once it's set in stone, there's generally no changing that, I think, except for things related to the kids. You generally can't.
Yeah.
Divorce agreements generally aren't changed after the fact.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, you're just reached gloomy doomy here. But
and I'm not a divorce attorney. I should disclose that.
Yeah. We're talking about finances now, and really, you know, houses and divorce. So, I mean, we talk about the three D's. Like I said, the dirty words. You know, divorce we're highlighting now, but there's, you know, obviously death, and then there's disability. So probably separate shows. But if you do have any questions for myself or Cindy, again, we are both from Boston Connect Real Estate. I am the broker owner. Cindy is an associate broker. We're both full-time real estate agents helping people buy and sell homes. 781-837-4900 is our number here. Ryan is manning the phones. And we also have Alyssa McNamara-Reed here with us, and she is a certified
financial planner, practitioner.
Okay.
I have to throw that little practitioner in there so I don't get disciplined by the CFP board.
Okay. And she is right here in Marshfield as well at McNamara Financial. Also has her own show on Saturday mornings with Michael McNamara and Kirk and Justin. I'm not sure Justin even does it anymore.
No, he really doesn't. No. Not so much anymore. Yeah.
So McNamara Money every Saturday morning. From
Justin doesn't
to
like
10.
Talking a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah, I remember being on the show with him one time and I was like, this is painful. Like, I need you to
He has a hard time just talking for 2 hours, which is hard anyway. But
I know.
It's not his cup of tea. He's he does other things.
So if you have any questions for Alyssa, again, or myself, anything to do with finances, it doesn't have to be about divorce or anything like that. But if anything to do with maybe the proceeds of your home, because that's another thing that we were sort of thinking about highlighting on is our clients who are right-sizing.
Right.
You have all these proceeds. Are you better off putting all those proceeds towards your next condo or whatever? Or do you put some of that into financial planning? So any questions, 781-837-4900 is the number here. And Ryan is manning the phones. So in regard to the divorce thing, too, one of the – you want to – highlight on something? Go ahead.
I just had a thought that I just wanted to touch on the difference between current cash flow and being able to, you know, we were talking about affordability of your life post-divorce and how often it's not affordable long-term. And what I mean by that is, you know, a divorced spouse might have they might have income from a job, they might have alimony, they might have child support, and they might have assets from, you know, division of assets post-divorce. It's one thing to be able to look at what's coming in the door and say, oh yeah, I can still afford this life. I can pay my mortgage. I can, you know, pay, I can buy food, so da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And maybe college is even taken care of as a result of the divorce. And, you know, maybe there's already a plan for that. Well, there generally is. But it's really important to not just focus on the current cash flow. And even if that works, you have to think long term. In other words, if you have $300,000, for example, just throwing out a number from, you know, maybe half of your spouse's 401k. Mm-hmm. And if you take your salary and your child support and your alimony, and if you're spending all those dollars on your life to maybe remain in that bigger family home, and you're not focusing on, well, is that $300,000 plus, you know, potential growth in the market, is that going to be enough for me when I go to retire? Mm. And am I able to build my own nest egg based on my current cash flow? So I think it's really important to focus on the long term.
Mm.
And I don't, you know, I guess I don't know statistically how often that happens. I know that the people I work with, obviously we have discussions about it, but I don't know how frequently that's done. Maybe you might actually have a better idea. I don't know, working with...
Yeah, you know, for us, I feel like the divorces that we see, and I've been through some really, really difficult ones. I mean, there's one that just rings in my head every time I think of divorce, and it was the worst experience of my life. Mm-hmm. And it just felt terrible for the woman that was going through the divorce, and, you know, certainly she wasn't expecting it, so people can assume what they want to assume. And I remember sitting at the table, and I'm thinking, well, you had, you know, children with this woman, and she was shocked and sobbing like I've never seen someone before, and just so much in shock. So that's why I think thinking of finances and thinking about the house and all these other things, emotionally, I'm not sure that you're even capable to think straight at that very moment. But that, you know, and he was very stoic and just very, like, very matter of fact, but he had a head start on it. So that sometimes happens in divorce, too. Like, the one that knows they're going for the divorce has probably been planning it for over a year.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so I think that I don't know. It's just, it's really a hard thing. It really is. And I've also been in situations where the divorce was so bad that, you know, one has a restraining order against another. So we have to text separately. Like, all communication has to be separately. So, you know, so there are different ones. Then there are some that are just, like, perfectly fine. You know, we know that we're going our separate ways. And when, you know, when you're a buyer's agent, too, and you know there's a divorce, you always want to ask, like, how was everything working out? Because one of two things when you're negotiating, either they hate each other so much they just want to get rid of the damn house, or they're going to wait it. One's going to hold out and say, I'm never selling this place.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just going to put down my roots. So. But I think we're ready for a break, right? Is that correct? But you're right, like, right on time right now. So we're going to take a break so we can get Alyssa's commercials in here. And next week's co-host, I think, is Matt Kritz from the Clean Team. And pretty sure, you're looking at me like maybe not, but okay, I think that's who it is. You're looking at me like no? Okay.
I'm not going to do that. I'm looking at my calendar.
Okay.
And my calendar has him last week, but last week I was in London.
Yeah.
And I have Dan Mann next week. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. It's Matt.
So Kritz, that's why
I'm
looking.
Just so you know. I'm giving Ryan some time, and he's Ryan's
good,
over
I'm glad
there.
I did his commercial.
Jeez. But that gives all of our listeners some time. You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, Cindy Ford, and Alyssa McNamara Reed. And when we come back, please give us a call so you can. I feel it's gloomy. Let's brighten it up a little bit.
Because we're going to talk death next?
No, 837-4900. We'll be right back.
Imperial Inspection Services. Complete home inspection services. Radon testing featuring on-site results with electronic testing. Lead paint inspection. Title V inspection. Pest inspection, including FHA and VA. Call 7 days a week. 1-800-440-1141. Or visit them on the web at imperialinspectionservices.com. With 28 years experience in two convenient locations, Braintree and Cape Cod, accepting credit cards for all services rendered. Imperial Inspection Services. 1-800-440-1141. 1-800-440-1141.
Hi, this is Alyssa McNamara Reed, one of the hosts of WATD's Saturday morning financial talk show, McNamara on Money. Did you miss the episode last week? It's okay if you did. You can check out our podcast. Search McNamara on Money in iTunes or in your favorite podcast app, and never miss an episode again.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Having originated more than $11 billion in 2015, Fairway has competitive rates and extensive product availability. For instance, you may even be eligible to receive a down payment assistance grant of up to 5% of your loan that you don't have to pay back. Seems too good to be true? Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172 and ask for Daniel Mann to see if you qualify for this amazing program. Don't be scared about the home financing process. Let Dan show you that his way is the Fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Daniel Mann, NMLS 150772, Mass Branch License 338980.
We now return to Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services on 95.9 WATD.
My earbuds in, but we're back. Look
we
at
are.
That, ladies.
We're back.
Talking off the air about all this stuff that is not fun, but you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, Cindy Ford, and Alyssa McNamara Reed. We're talking about divorce and your finances right now and how that relates to your household. If you're, you know, you have to sell your home, the proceeds of your home, and all that other stuff. Not a fun topic, but this is
it's
real
part
life.
Of life.
And this is, you know, sort of things that happen. So we're here to help you with some of the questions you may have. I'm sure it's really difficult to call the radio station right now if you do have questions about this because maybe you haven't told your spouse yet.
Maybe you don't want to go live on the air. You could just tell Ryan your questions.
Nice.
Exactly. Yeah. But that does happen with me. I do recall one time I went to a neighborhood and they said you know, they hadn't told the kids yet. But I was in the house together with them and they didn't tell the kids yet that they were getting divorced and selling the house. And they said, and a lot of people in our neighborhood know your car. So like, we're going to open up the door to the garage. If you wouldn't mind just like pulling your car in. I was like, I'll take another car.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody knew in the neighborhood and everything. But, I mean, that's where, you know, your job too, Alyssa, right? In us and, you know, the confidentiality level that we have for our clients. We want to respect that.
Absolutely.
Of course. Most certainly. Yeah. So,
I had a thought before the break. You were talking about the woman who was, you know, obviously very surprised by her husband wanting a divorce and maybe he had been planning it for a long time. One of the concerns I hear quite frequently is that maybe one of the spouses is concerned that the other one has been hiding assets.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, you know, again, I'm not a divorce attorney, but I know what, I roughly know what a divorce attorney does and how they discover assets. You know, it's pretty hard to hide assets from your spouse. You know, a good divorce attorney would grab tax returns from the last several years, you know, maybe going back 5 years, and you can discover assets in that regard. And if, you know, there was an asset 5 years ago that is that has disappeared, you know, they can discover things that maybe an average person couldn't. So I think it's a pretty small, I know it's a concern of people's, but I think it should be a pretty small concern for people. And then it's pretty hard to just like pick money up and hide it and not disclose it. And, you know, a good attorney would find those things. Yeah.
When I did the show a few weeks ago with your dad, actually we had a caller. It was actually Tom from Kingston that called in. And one of his questions was about people who are selling their home, but their boyfriend, girlfriend. So there is no actual marriage.
Yeah.
And it was a very good question. And somebody had called me off the air, you know, to ask me a couple questions about that whole situation. And my advice for those people are, if you're living separately, like separate checks, separate everything, keep track of everything you're spending money on, because I also
for the house
and you know, anything that you're doing together, you know, like, hey, I paid for our trip to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks. Things like that, you know what I mean? It's a mutual.
Yeah, who does that though?
Yeah, but nobody. Yeah. You know what? You sort of should, because I know somebody that is in a situation right now where, and you're familiar with this person. We went over to her house and didn't expect it either. Built a big, beautiful home in one of the surrounding towns and didn't have all the receipts. And she's like, I paid for that beautiful set out there. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal. That's out by the pool, but well,
it adds up.
It adds up.
It was like the paintings and the
thousands of dollars for like just the
very
furniture.
High end.
High end stuff. Yeah. So, but when then
I wouldn't know, because I don't have those high end things in my house right now. I wouldn't know what high end furniture looks like right now.
I actually bought some really nice Adirondack chairs last year, and I was like, these things are solid.
Yeah. You know? Good ones are good. Yeah.
Yeah, but I had my old ones for years. And when, you know, I sat on it and went through it, I knew that that was time to replace it.
Yeah.
It's time.
So, but it is. Start working out a little bit more.
Yeah, I know.
But when you're in that situation or that relationship, like that person was, you're in la-la land. You're happy, because if you weren't happy, why would you be with that person, right? Mm-hmm. So you think it's all good and nothing will ever happen. Like, we all go into these long-term relationships thinking nothing's going to happen. So, you know, she did have her receipts. It wasn't pretty.
No.
It took months.
Yeah.
Like, really, to go back. Because you're going back 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're
They weren't married? What it was? Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. No.
They were just living together, built a house and everything. And
yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that is hard. But, I mean, that's one of the things that you do, Alyssa, because I know when you're meeting with people, when they're talking about their finances, you know, there's so many different things that you do with different age levels. So I think, like, with me, it's about the budget. It's how much money are you really spending? How much money do you really need to be spending? Are you thinking about the children? Are you thinking about them getting older?
Yeah.
Then there's also that time now where Mark and I are at that point right now where we're finished paying for Casey.
Yeah.
We already have saved, you know, for Mackenzie for her last year.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, if the income still keeps the way it is, where are we putting that money, you know, that we're not putting towards the kids?
Yeah.
That's never going to end. Who are we kidding? I'm just looking
at you, and I love you. But I'm looking, thinking, she is in a la-la land.
Speaking
right
of la-la land.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, the budgeting is sort of like my go-to for sort of solving all financial problems, because I can't do a good job for people unless I know what their abilities are, meaning what are their abilities to save, you know, what are their, are they spending too much? Theoretically, do they have the ability to save more? You know, and that's, I talk to clients of all ages about those things. And actually, did you want me to touch on?
Yeah, I did, because I think that's great, because they're not doing it really in school. And
right. So, Sharon was just writing me notes in studio here that, just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we finished up our fourth annual Smart with Money Fair for the Marshfield High School kids. And this year we had about 250 seniors come through and go through this exercise of pretending they're 25 and understanding how much life costs and the importance of budgeting. So what we do for them is we develop a very comprehensive budget worksheet, and it has information on it like, you know, what's their net monthly income? What's their credit score?
They choose their occupation.
Where do they work? Yeah. Whoa. What's their occupation?
Mm-hmm. What a great idea.
Oh my gosh. Wonderful.
It's such a concept. I'm sorry, but I'm enthralled
here. I did not create the concept. These have been, gaining in popularity in the last few years. We read about one in, like, you know, Minnesota 5 years ago, and we said, this is something that we really should do. It's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually developed like a really, I'm very proud of it because I designed it in Excel. It's like a very comprehensive budget worksheet. And what they did was there was a line item or two or three that corresponded with each table that they had to visit, which in each table represented like a real life financial decision, you know. Mm-hmm. So one of them was housing. Yep. You know, so they decide if they rent or they buy, and if they rent, you know, there's a couple lines. There's a line for that they deduct from savings for their upfront costs, you know, first, last,
well,
security.
They see a loan officer first, which is great,
right? They either get pre-qualified for a loan or they get rejected. I actually had a lot of credit scores too low this year. That was just kind of an error on my part, so a lot of them got rejected. And we had some kids that were kind of angry about that, you know. But that led to a learning experience of why your credit score is really important. So that actually turned out to be a good thing.
You know, what would be interesting. So this is your fourth year doing it.
Yeah.
I think I did it the first in the second year maybe with you. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think I did the first 2 years with you. You know what would be interesting though, because those were seniors, they're going to be graduating college.
Right.
I think it would be interesting if you could get like a little pool of them together and do a round table to see if they incorporated any of that budgeting skills into their life, because no one ever taught
me. You don't learn. Yeah. No one
you
teaches
don't.
You.
Yeah. And that's why we
nothing
do it.
Nothing about it.
There's no education
and, you
in
know,
our society.
What, yeah. I remember in like 1978 when I got my first. Shut up.
When you were born.
When I first, and I remember them saying, do you want to put money, you know, from your paycheck, which was very minimal, into the, and I thought, retirement, like I'm
you don't
you know,
think
my 20
that way
like
when you're that old
you,
yeah
you just
yeah.
And you just boohoo it like you just don't do anything about it. I would be a gajillionaire right now.
Should have listened, Cindy.
I know, but you don't.
Yeah.
Or you don't know about, you know, checking account and budgeting, and here's the other thing today that's probably worse. We have done so much for our kids. They don't have a clue what it costs to live. Honestly, I'm 1,000%
Do you see that a lot?
A bad parent.
Oh, of course. I mean, the first thing I asked, the first, we did it over 2 days, so there was like 120 kids that came each day or whatever the number, and the first thing I asked them, we were in the auditorium doing the introductory comments, was how many of you do you know how much your cell phone plan is monthly? And one kid raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
They have no clue, and that's just one line item on the sheet.
Which is what is attached to their head.
Yeah.
All the, right? They're looking at it all the time. Don't even... No, my daughter would have no idea.
Casey and McKenzie would have no idea.
No idea.
But not only that, like, you know, even if I don't even know...
I bet you there may be a difference like that, though. That's what I think. I mean...
Oh, sure, yeah.
I feel like, you know, you're doing it for the high school, and I think that that's great, but I think that there should be a budgeting session for people who just don't know how to do it. Maybe those people just getting out of college.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my... When we debriefed from this year, we sort of backed up a step and we said, what are the main points we want to get across? And we picked three main points. And one of them was basically don't spend money in a vacuum, which means, yeah, maybe you can afford a $60 a month cell phone plan. I don't even know how much they are. Probably more than that. $80 a month. I don't know. My husband pays the bills. But
whatever.
If your net monthly income right after taxes is $2,500, right, when you're 25 years old, whatever the number is, yeah, you can afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a better example is, you know, one of the tables they had to visit was travel and discretionary spending of like, you know, and yeah, I can afford $200 a month or $2,400 a year of travel related expenses, because when you look at $2,500 net monthly, you can spend $200 because it's a smaller number, right?
Yeah.
But the point of the exercise is when you go through and you spend all your other money at all your other places, you know, circle back and can you really afford that $200 a month on travel or whatever that, you know, I guess I focus on the more discretionary spending for that exercise. Clothes or or how expensive the car is that you buy. Do you buy the $45,000 SUV? So that was one of the main points. And they physically have to go through and in one, basically 1 hour or an hour and a half, they fill in all these numbers of all these places where adults spend their money. And some of them might not apply to them, like they might have taken the T instead of bought a car. But the point is, you have to think about all these decisions together, really, before you think about each individual one. I mean, or it's the best way to think about each individual expense in your life.
I think that you should do that. Yeah, you should do that in my office. We'll do that as an exercise with my agents. Because
I'm happy to.
We had an attorney in our office recently, and I was still shocked at the people that I yelled at 3 years ago who have no will. I mean, never
have
a mind.
And homes.
Yeah,
and
estate planning, no will.
Nice. Yeah, that's
so
really scary.
I think that even the basics of doing something like that, I think that it would be great. But I feel that could help so many people, like maybe even some of our listeners now, because that is the thing, is you just feel like, oh, I have it. Like, you don't feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck, but you're just like, oh, yeah, just go. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just so easy.
It's so easy to spend your money because whatever you're spending is less than what you make.
Yeah.
But when you add it all. And it's funny because when I work with the high school kids, it's easy to understand that they don't know these things. But then when I'm across from like a 45-year-old adult, I don't know what they don't know. So I don't know if they know how to, like, to me, a budgeting is very simple. That's very simple, but it's hard.
You have your book, right? You do everything in a book.
Oh,
right?
I have it in my purse right here. I write down everything I spend. But it's like, it's liberating because it's almost like freeing.
I have friends that are my age and in your age that have no idea what their husband makes, no idea what the bills cost, have never written out a check. And I thought, oh my gosh. Oh, I can't I can't even fathom that.
Would you admit too, though, like I know roughly what my monthly bills are. Like I know how much my household electric bill is. Yeah. I know how much, you know what I mean? But if you ask me right now, like how much do I spend monthly? I found that exercise extremely difficult when you gave me that piece of paper.
It's very difficult.
I would say
it's very difficult.
Yeah. And I have, you know, then I was going to use Quicken. I used that for a while now, like with the office. I'm like hyper-focused on those, you know, the books for there. So I'm trying to be more aware of exactly how much money am I spending. I was, you know, sometimes I'm like, wow, my electric bill is $250 this month. I wonder what it was last December, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't
know. It's a very eye-opening exercise. And it's a very difficult exercise to sort of go through and figure out what you spend. I mean, and if you think it's hard for an 18-year-old.
I know.
It's even harder for grown adults because, you know, not everything is laid out right in front of them on a board with the number right in front of you. You actually have to go back and figure out, well, what did I actually spend my money on this past year?
Well, when people find out how much they've spent on meals and entertainment, I think that they're quite shocked.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very eye-opening. Most people spend $20,000 or $30,000 more than they think they do.
Yeah, so easily. I think it's a good exercise. So people will always say at the end of the year, like, how come I have nothing to show for this? And I think it's because people are just so, you know, they easily go into Dunkin' Donuts. I remember when we opened up Boston Connect Real Estate 6 years ago, or other times in my life where I'm like, all right, well, we're not having coffee, or we're not going out to dinner, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going into Dunkin' Donuts. I'm going to buy a box of tea bags instead of for $2.
You went the other day. I caught you.
I did.
Totally went the other day.
No, the other day, I went to the store. Yeah, the little place right up the street. Usually I go to Cumberland Farms because it's $1.05. just real quick, you just heard the doorbell as well, and that is our opportunity to tell you a little bit about real estate. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, feel free to give myself or Cindy Ford a call so we can give you a one-on-one consultation if you want to talk about some of this divorce stuff and how to manage all that aspect of it. I have with Alyssa done some sort of estate stuff with people as well, with you know, older people we've done. They've lost a spouse and stuff. So, you know, putting together a team for you to help you make the best decisions for you and your family in the future. You don't know where you can go until you know where you are. So one-on-one consultations are really, really good in educating people. If you're thinking about open houses this weekend, you can go on to bostonconnect.com. You'll find all the open houses there. And if you can't get into them this weekend, you can give us a call.
Yeah,
Cindy
absolutely.
Just loves showing houses.
All day long.
Is that what you do?
That's what she was all day today.
Inspections and showing houses all week.
It's very busy.
It's all good.
Yeah, busy time of year, huh?
It is. It's
thank
very
goodness.
Busy.
This is completely off topic, but I was chatting with actually a divorcee just a few days ago. And she had sold the marital home, the big home, and she's actually renting right now, but it's for a temporary period of time, and she's looking to buy. And mm-hmm. she's in her 50s, early 50s, and she's looking for a small, new...
Oh, yeah, it doesn't happen.
...individual freestanding home. She doesn't want a condo. And there are a lot of people that I work with that are of this, roughly of this demographic, not necessarily a divorcee, but like an yeah. older couple mm-hmm. trying to downsize, but doesn't want to put the work in, wants a new property or a rent or a fully renovated property without a condo fee. There's like
There's nothing.
Yeah. It's awful. Right,
and everything is...
I mean, I guess that's why people go to Florida, because that's like every single house down there fits yeah. that description, but...
Yeah. It's bigger it's homes awful. That you see. And the reason why is because the land is so expensive, so the builders can't afford yeah. to take a full acre of land that they're paying $200, $220 for,
oh, okay.
and put a small cape on it, because they would never make their money back.
Right.
So that's why, that's the reason for that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alyssa,
go on
how
on.
Can people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you about finances, budget, divorce, death, disability, all those things that you handle?
Rollovers, managing mm-hmm. assets, all these wonderful things. Yeah. McNamaraFinancial.com or 781-834-2010.
Give that number one more time.
781-834-2010. Thanks for having me, ladies.
Oh, yes,
thanks.
It was
again,
great.
It blew by.
781-826-8000 if you want to get in touch with me or Cindy, and bostonconnect.com, and we can get you in touch with Alyssa. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.